Hey, you guys, Lauren here. It has been a minute since we've recorded a new episode, so I wanted to leave a little surprise for everyone going back re-listening, or maybe you're listening for the first time. If you are interested in our graphic design contract template, you can use the code LOYALLISTENER for 50% off, making it $37.50. This is an awesome, thorough contract I made in collaboration with my lawyer, Kirsty Locke Miller. If you are insecure about your current contract, or maybe you don't have a contract, I would definitely recommend this one. You can find the link at our show notes and use the code LOYALLISTENER. Thanks for your support.
Hey, I'm Lauren.
I'm Steph, and this is Design Beat.
Hello, and welcome to Design Beat, where we share the stories of creative women who dance to the beat of their own drum. We hope you come away uplifted, inspired, and encouraged to go for it. It is Halloween week. We are telling design horror stories. I asked for submissions last week and on Instagram, and you guys delivered. So we wanted to be careful not to do too much client bashing and focus on experiences that were a nightmare and not people. There is one that's kind of a person that was rude, but we try to keep things positive around here, but sometimes you just gotta vent. You gotta laugh at yourself so you don't cry. So that's what we're doing this week. We are laughing so we don't cry. And there are some that, I'll be honest, they make me want to cry a little bit. There's some pretty cringy ones in here. So let's get started. I'm gonna start with my own personal cringy horror story. It was a dark and stormy night. Actually, I think it was summer. So my business, I just do business under my own name, Lauren Coons. Before that, I was Color Shift Studio. I don't really know why I switched, and sometimes I question it, but I just kind of wanted to do it under my own name. It's easier for some reasons, and I don't know. I feel like a lot of people question if they should be their own name or a studio name. I just decided to do it under my own name. So I already had laurencoons.com, and I decided to just let colorshiftstudio.com expire, which it did. And it was purchased by someone who just used it to post a bunch of porn ads. So I discovered this because, this was the worst. My husband googled Lauren Coons. He either googled Lauren Coons or googled Color Shift Studio, and it was like one of the first things that came up. It was an old link from, I don't even know, just an old link that went straight to that Color Shift Studio homepage, and it was the worst, the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Just bad, 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 bad. So I was freaking out because there are some websites that I no longer had access to that have Color Shift Studio in the footer because I designed them and I wanted to send people to my website. So I had to rack my brain, remember all the websites I designed, put that in the footer that I didn't have access to anymore, and to contact the people and be like, hey, so funny story, porn. It was so embarrassing. And in the meantime, I wanted to try and buy it back because there's gotta be other links out there that I can't control, right? That I can't change. Oh, I just didn't want anybody to think they're going to my website and go to that monstrosity. So I contacted the person. I went through a broker. I offered them a couple $100s. They countered. I think I ended up spending $300 or $400 to buy it back. And now I will keep it forever. So Moral of the story, do not let your domains expire, because you never know who's going to purchase them and what they're going to put on there. And chances are you won't be able to control all the old links that have your name attached and go to that website. Okay, our first listener submission. They say, days before a big project, my hard drive stopped working and I didn't back up my files. I even paid over $700 to try and fix it with zero luck. I had to recreate it all based on a few screenshots I had and my memory. I lost almost 2 years worth of design work. Okay, 2 years? This is truly a nightmare. Having to recreate something you've been working on for 2 years? I cannot handle this. This just reminded me of another horror story. So I was working as an in-house designer. So I had a laptop that they gave me. I was on one of my, I think it was like my last, I'd put in my 2 weeks notice. So like 2 weeks before I left, my files, all the files on my desktop were gone and I could not figure out where they went. And so it wasn't that huge of a deal because I was mostly just doing social media graphics that were easy to recreate. But I did have some pattern files that made it kind of a nightmare. So I didn't back it up, you guys. This is always what leads to horror stories, not backing up. I would back up some things, but sometimes I would just forget. And I found out somebody else, they had just hired another employee. And for some reason, our desktops were linked. They were like signed into the same iCloud. So she got her new laptop and just wiped the desktop, thinking she was like just cleaning off her laptop from somebody else who'd worked there before. But every time she'd do that, it would clean off my desktop. So I kept saving things to my desktop and they just kept getting deleted. And I finally found out that was why. And this was a nightmare because I couldn't hand off the Illustrator files to the new designer. I couldn't, like, I was just like, hey, sorry, here's what we've been doing. Here's what the Instagram looks like. Good luck. I felt so bad. And there were some patterns they wanted to print again that we had to like dig up in emails to the manufacturer. And oh, I just felt so bad. When you're working for somebody else and things like that happen, it just hits different. Because you feel like you let them down. When you're your own boss, like you feel dumb and you're like, oh shoot, that was stupid. But when you, it's like you're an employee for somebody else, for some reason, it just makes it seem so much worse. All right, next one. I worked for a wine magazine, Global Mag, bi-monthly publication, 10 to 20,000 copies printed and sold around the world. I think it was my third or fourth issue, so I had a bit of a hang of things, but the odd mistake happens. Well, the magazine was printed overseas, meaning when we uploaded the files and got the proofs, it was all via FTP. I don't know what that means. I'll Google it. On a system that was far from crystal clear. This particular issue I uploaded to the system, and I remember thinking, that seems a little blurry, but dismissed it because it was a low-res proof. Fast forward a few weeks, and the boxes of magazines are delivered, and they're all low-res. Dun, dun, dun. Every single one. I was mortified. It wasn't like it was 72 dpi, but it most certainly wasn't clear 300 dpi. Thankfully, my boss, who had checked the proofs too, was super understanding, but now I always check the proof resolution. Yikes. I don't do a lot of printing, so when I do, I just feel so overwhelmed and just cross my fingers it turns out well, because I feel like this kind of happens a lot where things just don't print as high res as you think they're going to. I don't know. Does that happen a lot? That's a nightmare. A magazine, especially if there's 20,000 copies, What do you do with 20,000 misprinted copies? Yikes. Yeah, that's cringy for sure. Okay, next. Okay, I just thought of another funny one. So I designed invitations for my friend's baby shower just for fun. I was throwing the baby shower and I just made it a fun little creative project. So I had a few different options I was deciding between. It was this cactus invitation. One was illustrated and one was a cactus photo with like overlay thing. I don't know. They were cute. So when I got them printed, for some reason, I accidentally sent the printer two images. And so they printed them front and back, like two different invitation options. And I did pretty good quality, and I was a poor student. I think I was a student. Yeah, I was a poor student. And so I couldn't afford to reprint them. And so I sent them out with double-sided. They said the exact same text front and back. There were just different invitations, different design options. I was so embarrassed, and I didn't know what to do, so I just covered it up. I did one of those diaper raffles where you like give them a piece of paper and if they bring diapers, they can enter the raffle and put their name in a bowl on a piece of paper. So I put the raffle ticket on the back and I just taped it to the invitation to try and cover it, which totally made it worse because they're like, what is under this ticket? And they had to take it off to bring it to the shower. Oh, it was so embarrassing. It wasn't a big deal, and I don't think people cared, but it's just one of those stories where I just cringe whenever I think about it. Okay, next one. This one is kind of about the client, but yeah, it is. It's about a mean client. Sorry. We're just gonna have one. Just one, and they were mean, so they deserve it. All right. It says, within the first months of me freelancing, I secured a monthly retainer with a local brewery that my boyfriend was the brewer for. They were in the process of opening their business, but needed all of the help. Branding, web, marketing, everything. So I put them on a retainer and everything was great. It was a family-owned business, so a dad, two brothers, and a sister. But once they opened, shiz hit the fan. They thought they were going to immediately make back their entire investment. And when they didn't, the dad spiraled. And who did he take it out on? Me. I was on the way to a meeting with him. He called me while I was on the road and said, I'm not paying you. We're done. When they still owed me money for the website. Long story short, not short, LOL. I took down the website. It caught so much attention that he called me a little girl who doesn't know how the working world works. Rude. My community flooded their Facebook rating and everything just spiraled. I literally thought my career was over, just as it was starting. I had people from Australia who heard about what happened and thanked me for sticking to my guns to get paid. Okay, rude. I don't understand why she's the one who doesn't understand how the working world works when she's just asking to get paid for the work she's done, but all right. Thankfully, I have never had a rude client. Everyone I've worked with has been nice, at least nice. Some people haven't, like, respected my time or expected me to, I don't know, push boundaries a little. We'll just say that. But I've been so lucky to have really nice clients. Maybe it's because I'm very picky with who I work with. Like when I'm, when I do a consultation call, if they like sneeze, I'm like, no, this isn't gonna work. Just kidding. But I definitely am very sensitive to the vibes. Like we've got a vibe or else I'm out. Maybe I take that a little too far and miss out on clients. Okay. To stay up to date on all things Design Beat, you can follow us on Instagram at Design Beat Podcast or visit us at designbeatpodcast.com and join our mailing list there. Talk to you next week.